To week two of Christmas at the Movies. If you are a first-time visitor and you're wondering what's going on, which I assume you probably were invited by somebody giving you a ticket or and they explained to you, but just in case you didn't, what we do at Christmas at the Movies is we take clips from movies and we build a sermon around the theme that I actually just feel led to do. This morning's sermon was not the one I wanted to preach. I'll talk about that in a little bit, but we'll explore some of the Christmas themes that we find in these Christmas movies. And this week, we're going to be looking at a movie that, to be honest with you, I never saw the first one, but I did watch this one. It's The Nutcracker, The Four Realms. I've never seen The Nutcracker. I remember when I was a little kid getting scared by that Mouse King or Rat King or whatever he was. Never wanted to watch it. Not to mention it was ballet and so I did a search because I started thinking about Nutcrackers and why in the world, and shout out to Nick Parker because he let us borrow a whole lot of Nutcrackers to decorate our tree with out there, but why did Nutcrackers, of all things, become associated with Christmas time? So I looked into it a little bit, and it happens to be that it was that movie. It was actually a play, a ballet in 1892 called The Nutcracker. And Christmas and Nutcrackers just got joined together because of that ballet. And then Germany, for centuries, have given Nutcrackers as gifts to one another. And, of course, you know what happened in the 1940s. In Germany, American soldiers were coming back home, and they brought Nutcrackers with them to give to their families when the war was over as souvenirs. And so that's how Nutcrackers got famous in America. Now, I want to take a few minutes, it's going to be longer than usual, to show you some clips, and it's going to introduce to you this movie that I'm going to be breaking down this morning. I felt like there was a good chance a lot of you have never seen the movie, so I wanted to introduce it because that's going to be the theme of what I talked to you about this morning. So there's the main character of this movie is a girl named Clara. You were just introduced to her. And her and her brother and her sister on Christmas Eve night received gifts from their deceased mother. It's their first Christmas without their mother. And, of course, everyone is grieving, but she's left these presents with the instructions to give it to them on Christmas Eve. The two gifts for the other two children are very ordinary gifts, but Clara gets this egg without a key, and you saw her looking for the key. Well, the reason that the key is important, the reason that the egg is important, is because of where she ended up. She was in the Christmas tree forest, and she was about to go into the fourth realm. What she discovered when she got through the tree is this other land. And she also discovered that she wasn't just a normal girl. She was a princess in this land. So I wanted to preach to you about the four realms because they could really preach, especially the land of amusement. I thought, I'm going to talk about the cosmos. I'm going to break this down spiritually. But the Lord wouldn't let me do that. Instead, I felt like I needed to talk to you about choices. See, like Clara, we find ourselves at crossroads a lot of time. We're looking for purpose. We're looking for direction. And she had suffered a great loss when her mother passed away. Her whole life changed. And now the family is there together trying to celebrate Christmas, but she doesn't feel like Christmas feels like Christmas. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? She has, for the first time, had to deal with Christmas without her mother, and Christmas doesn't feel right to her. And she's upset that she's grieving one way and nobody else is grieving the same way that she is. So we start out with this friction between her and her father. And I just wanted to emphasize to you this morning that you're going to go through this in your own life. And Christmas is one of those times where we evaluate family, right? And you start evaluating, some of y'all start evaluating them a long time before now. Because you're like, is crazy cousin Eddie coming to dinner? I got to deal with this guy now. He's going to bring a fruitcake, and nobody likes fruitcake. And you're going to go through this. Christmas time is one of those times that just reveals kind of the stress that we carry all year long, but we kind of suppress it and hide it. You're going to encounter a lot of opportunities that push you to grow, that urge you out of your comfort zone. It's going to push you into places that you've never been before. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because one of the key messages of the movie is the power of your choices. She starts out bitter because mother has passed and nobody is grieving the way she is. She didn't even want to celebrate Christmas. She didn't want to have the normal festivities because it didn't feel right because mother was there. It wasn't there. So she had a choice to make. She had a choice whether to celebrate, whether to get involved with the family. And she makes the wrong choice in the beginning. But then Clara learns that she has to choose her path. And what happened to Clara following that string was that she found out that her mother in that land was a queen, which made her a princess. So let's start out by saying she wasn't normal. She wasn't normal, right? And child of God, neither are you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not normal. Some of y'all been waiting a long time for just a preacher to give you permission to do that very thing. Y'all have been coming to church for years saying, I hope today is the day. But if you're a child of God, let me tell you something. You're not designed to blend in. You actually were created to stand out. And there are scripture after scripture after scripture that tells us that this is not our home. That we are like Clara. We find ourselves in a land that we didn't know existed. And we're just trying to make the right choices in that land, bringing our history from where we've been before. That means that sometimes you're going to do things that other people refuse to do because you're not them. And there's things that they do that you have to refuse because you're not them. You're not normal. You're supposed to stand out. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 11 tells us this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's you. You're special. Don't look at your neighbor and say, you're special. Don't do that. Why are you special? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. So you were in a dark realm. He called you into another realm of his marvelous light. Who once, not forever, but once were not a people, but now are the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy. See, that scripture is all about reminding you that you're not normal. Now, if you're new here, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we're not a normal church. You've already figured that out. But we call ourselves that church because we do things that other churches don't do because we're trying to reach people that other churches don't want. We're trying to make room for the Holy Ghost to do whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do in order that people might surrender their lives to Christ and be eternally changed. Where they don't fit in anywhere else, they can fit in here because we're not going to water down the message, but we're going to give it to them straight. It shouldn't be an average Sunday when you come to church. Every time you come to church, your life should change because you are encountering not only the Spirit of the Most High God, but you're hearing His Word. So you should change in some form or fashion every single time you come to church. So these scriptures remind us of how abnormal we are. The first thing it said was you are a chosen people. There's over 8 billion people alive on the planet right now, and God chose you. You're pretty special. Yeah. You are a royal priesthood. Now, I don't want to get too deep this morning, but there's something we have lost in the body of Christ, and that is recognizing our spiritual authority. See, in the Old Testament, the priest had authority, and you are part of the priesthood. And if you walk through life surrendered to Christ, I didn't say that you just showed up for church, but if your life is surrendered to Christ, you walk in authority. That means when you walk into a room, the authority of God shows up with you. When you walk into work, you're more than just an employee. You are robed in the authority of the Most High God. See, favor doesn't just find you or bump into you by accident. Favor follows you. When you call me or text me, send me a message on Facebook and say, Pastor, I can't believe this just happened. I got a promotion at work that I didn't deserve. And I'm like, yeah. You're favored. You're not like everybody else. You're a royal priesthood. God has shown his favor to you. Wherever you go, you're going to operate in the favor of heaven. And then it says you're also a holy nation. And this is where most preachers stop. Because we like to tell people they're blessed because it feels good to tell you how awesome you are. But when we start telling you that you got to live holy, oh, now the preachers done started meddling. This is where most preachers don't want to dive into. But the message of holiness has been thrown away by a lot of churches and a lot of Christians because somehow we decided we would rather be light than be right. And we don't want to offend anybody, so we don't want to challenge anyone to live right. Again, we're not that church, we're that church. We don't skip pages. If it's in there, we preach it. So it's true that the Bible tells us to be holy. It says, be ye holy even as the Lord your God is holy. If you want to know what your standard is, it's him. Then it says that there is a highway of holiness, and you're supposed to walk on it. Then it says Isaiah saw God, and his holiness was so overwhelming, it made Isaiah realize how dirty he was. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, all because he got into the presence of a holy God. The Bible also tells us that without holiness, we'll never see God. So the message of holiness is an important one. When God tells you that you're not like everybody else, it's because you're supposed to live holy. First time visitors here this morning. But there's stuff that they watch I can't watch. There's stuff they listen to I can't listen to. There's places they go that I can't go because I can't soil my garments. I can't allow to get in me what they've allowed to get in them. The Bible also says that I'm the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, which means I don't have to work to be righteous. It's mine. It's who I am. The Bible also says that you are foreigners in a strange land. That literally means you are not of this world. If you ever feel out of place, it's because you are. We are square pegs trying to fit in round holes. When you follow this book, and by the way, the world is getting farther and farther away from this book, and you're trying to follow it to the best of your ability, you're going to come off looking pretty strange. You're not a son or daughter of whoever's on your birth certificate only. You're also the son and daughter of a king. And not just a king, but the King of Kings. The king that is above every king. And that kingdom is not of this world. And I want to show you another clip that helps explain the difference between the two kingdoms. There was two things that was said in that clip that I wanted to bring to your attention. The first one is, time is very different, she said, in the realms. And then at the end, she said, everything looks different from the realms. Now remember, Clara left where she was. She made a choice to follow that rope. She was looking for her gift. She thought that her present was going to be at the end of that rope. It ended up bringing her into a different realm, another world, somewhere she's not familiar with. And when she noticed everyone in her old world moves slowly, and they said time is very different in the realm because things look different from the realms. And I couldn't help but to think about how different things look where God is. And the reason that you are called a holy nation, a royal priesthood, you're God's chosen people, is because you're supposed to look at this life, this realm, this world, the way God sees it. And it would benefit you in your prayer life to realize things look a lot slower down here from where he is. See, when you pray, you are in a hurry. God, I need it yesterday. And I want it by this person. I want you to do this much money. I need a check for this amount. And you are panic mode, constantly praying, God heal them, God deliver them, God move over here. But things look different from where God is. And the longer I've been walking with the Lord and learning about his word and learning about how I'm not of this world, I've tried to learn to see things from his perspective. I don't know if you've ever figured this out or not, but God don't freak out about what you freak out about. You bring your troubles to God, and it's okay. He's God. He'll take it. He'll handle it. But he doesn't get panicked the way you do. He doesn't get upset the way you do, because things look different from where God is. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 15, verse 19. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I didn't get one amen in the whole. My whole amen committee resigned on that one point right there. I chose you to come out of that realm, that world. And look at what it says. So it hates you. The world will never understand you if you are living like a Christian. You need to stop trying to make them accept you. You're unacceptable to them because you became acceptable to him. Things look differently from where God is. Do you realize the majority of that book that you call the Bible is not written to non-Christians trying to get them to become Christians? It's written to Christians to stop acting like they're not saved. It's an instruction manual for folks who are already part of that kingdom. We keep yelling at the world trying to explain Christianity to people who don't want to hear it, because what we're actually called to do instead of yelling at them is to live differently than them. To make them wonder why we are so strange. And that's when you get to preach, I'm this way because I was going this way in life and God turned me around, and things look differently from the realm that I'm in. I see life differently now. There is a line in the movie where Clara finds the key that she's been looking for. If you saw the first clip, Clara found the key. Dasselmeyer had hidden it in the tree, and this little mouse steals it. Well, that's the theme. It ends up taking her all the way into the fourth realm, and Clara finally finds the key hanging from a ceiling. But Mother Ginger is in possession of it. And Mother Ginger asked this line. She said, "What business brings you to the fourth realm? Don't you know it's dangerous here?" And Clara responds, "I came to get what belongs to me, that key." Church, that's the message of Christmas. Jesus came to a dangerous place to get what belonged to him, you and me. He left that realm, came to this realm. That's the message of Christmas, because he knew in order for us to ever reach that realm, somebody from there was going to have to come here and become the sacrifice that would open the door for us to reach that realm. So the simple story of Christmas is this. God loved you enough to send his only son to give his life so you don't have to. And if you think your life is too jacked up to be worth anything, just wait and see how much Jesus loves you and what he will accept and turn your life around and turn you into. See, God made the message real simple. We made it hard. We made hurdles in the way of the message that God made very, very simple. And in this stage of the world's existence, I think the church needs to make this message as plain as we can. For years, I feel like the church made simple things complicated. But when I read about Jesus, Jesus would take complicated things and make them simple. See, they kept bringing him questions about the Old Testament law, and the Old Testament law was complicated. Jesus would take that complicated thing and break it down and make it simple. Nobody understood the Old Testament, but they understood the words that were spoken by Jesus. And I used to think it was insulting if somebody said, "I preached a simple sermon." Now when somebody tells me that I preached a simple sermon, I said, "I'm just trying to be like Jesus." Because that's what he did. He took the message from that realm and made it simple so you and I can understand it. So yes, holiness is the way we're supposed to live. It's the kingdom system of living. It's not the world system. A lot of what we do doesn't make sense to the world because we belong to a different realm. So we have to live with the reality that not everyone is going to like us. If you want to be liked by everybody, give away ice cream. But you're never going to be liked by everybody if you're living for Jesus. But we are still called to be a witness of kingdom living. And how do we do that? We got to keep it simple. The first thing you need to do is retrain your brain. A lot of people says you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Does anybody remember 2020? Did you see how fast the whole world changed everything? I used to believe that. I used to believe you can't teach old dogs new tricks. I've been doing it this way. I'm going to continue to do it. No, you won't. You can retrain your brain. I saw it. I saw it in real time, and you did too. People stopped going out of their houses. We had one-way directions in Walmart. I'm still mad about it. Some of y'all are mad about the plastic stuff and the handing money to them and stuff. No. I'm still mad because we had directional errors on the floor at Walmart. And if they saw you walking down the aisle the wrong way, they scolded you. Like you couldn't catch something walking this direction. We retrained our brains. It's easier than you think it is. So in order for you to live in this realm but adopt that kingdom mindset, you have to retrain your brain. Some of y'all, listen, I had 3 kids. I still got them. I shouldn't say I had them. They're still around. And actually, I didn't have any of them. Praise be unto Jesus. We're old-fashioned. My wife had all of our kids. But we had 3 kids. And when girls especially, I'm going to get in trouble. Girls especially, when they get about 12 years old, there ought to be an island that you send 12-year-old girls to. The ones that survive, because they're not all going to make it, but the ones that survive can come back when they're about 22, 23 years old. It takes them that long for their brains to develop. It takes them that, and I'm not talking about being smart. I'm talking about everything's not a big deal anymore. Did anybody raise teenage girls? Yeah, and you tried to convince them, you know what? This is one dance. It's the end of the world. If her hair doesn't look right, if her eyelash isn't correct. Retraining your brain. Listen, you've got neurons in your brain that travel 250 miles an hour through your brain. You thought your teenagers had no thoughts at all? Some of you wives are convinced your husband has no thoughts. That's not true. The average person has between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts per day. Yes, even teenagers. Even husbands. But 95% of the thoughts you're having today are repetitive from yesterday. It's a cycle. Yesterday's thoughts become today's troubles because you can't do anything about yesterday, but it dominates your thoughts today. Of those thoughts, 80% of what you think is negative. I'll never be able to do it. Oh, I've never had enough. Nobody helps me. I thought it yesterday, so it's a reality today. But that's why Sundays are so important, because Sundays help you retrain the brain. When you come and get under the Word of God, you hear things like, wait a minute, I'm not that. I'm an overcomer. I'm not that. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed and not cursed. The second thing I want to talk to you about is to be culturally informed but not culturally conformed. We need to know what's going on in the world and what kind of laws are being passed and what's happening, that especially things that are going to affect our everyday lives. But we're not of this realm. Things look different where God is. The world moves much slower here than it does there, and God sees things that you and I will never see. Trends come and go. God's standards will never change. 1 Peter 1:25 says this, but the word of the Lord remains, how long? Forever. There are some trends that I am glad have come and gone. As a matter of fact, can I give you a few? How about this one? Anybody remember them shoulder pads? How about this? Anybody go to school with her? Tell the truth. How many yearbooks has got her in it? Yeah. Some of y'all were her, right? Here's a trend that I'm glad's gone. I don't know why boys thought they needed frosted tips. And I think we can all in this room agree that the world is a better place since girls stopped taking this picture. But it's not just fashion trends. See, I didn't pick on mullets. Some of y'all get nervous when I pick on mullets because mullets are making a comeback. Maybe if I had enough hair. Because I rocked that thing back in the 80s. But it's not just fashion that has trends. Our language has trends. And you don't really pay attention to it. But go all the way back to the 1920s. If you had a crush on somebody, they were the bee's knees. Now, move forward to the 1960s, and that same person was groovy. And then in the 1970s, you would be psyched if they asked you out to the dance. See how things change? Our language changes. Where are my 80s kids at? Where are my 80s kids at? You were raised in the 80s. All right, I found my people. How many of you remember rad? That second word, you can't say it normal, can you? Just the 80s kids. You millennials will say, totally. Not the 80s. How does the 80s kids say it? Totally. You ever tell somebody to take a chill pill? If you have, you're old. Now, we're going to move into the 1990s, and I promise you it's getting worse as we go. All that and a bag of chips. Da bomb. We can't even, where'd the T-H-E go? I never did understand. Da bomb. Bay. And fat, that meant something totally different when I was growing up. You told some girl she was fat in the 80s, you would have got a fat lip to go with it. They change, trends change. The 2000 introduces phrases like BFF and deets. My kids would come home and I needed an interpreter to understand exactly what they were talking about. And by the way, it is today, they might as well be speaking Latin. Bougie, extra, drip. I get so tired of it. Bet. Cap, which by the way, if you capped somebody when I was growing up, it was another meaning altogether. That slaps. My mama slapped. But I think it had a different meaning back then than it does today. Yeet. Bussin'? I told you it was getting worse as we go. So trends don't last, but the Word of God stands forever. So things look different from where God is. So when He spoke His Word into humans and they wrote it down and it's been passed through generations to you and me, we can still stand on His Word. Thank God we don't have to stand on trends. Because they change constantly. The third thing that we're going to do in order to live in this realm but be of that realm, because you're in the world but not of the world, you're going to trust God's opinion of you. Bible says we by His stripes we are healed. We don't always feel healed. And to be honest with you, we're not always walking in healing, but we have a promise that by His stripes we are healed. Sometimes you got to believe you're gifted, you're anointed, you're appointed to do something. I know it feels like that kid is going to get your last nerve, but you're anointed to raise that kid, or God wouldn't have put that kid in your house. Believe God's opinion of you. I tell people this all the time. Well, I tell some people this all the time. Everybody can't take it. But when I hear people talking down about themselves, and trust me, nobody does it more than me. I criticize myself every Monday. Every Monday, I don't resign every Monday. I used to type out a resignation letter. I don't do that every Monday anymore. But I do critique myself every Monday, and I think I totally blew it, and nothing I said got across, and it was the worst sermon I've ever preached since last Sunday, which was the worst sermon I've ever preached. So I get it. But when I hear somebody downing themselves, I tell them, stop talking about my friend that way. See, I have a higher opinion of some people than they do of themselves. And just think about God. We're His kids. Here's one thing I know about parents. They will overlook a lot of stuff that their kids do. Their opinion of their child doesn't match what society's opinion is. And God is our Father. You're His child. Just think about how great He thinks you are. Your picture's on God's refrigerator in heaven. And all the macaroni things that you made in kindergarten, they're hanging up there too. We don't know what God sees, but we know that it looks different from where God is. And before our final point, let's look at one more clip. I don't want to miss one more moment of what's in front of me because of what's behind me. That's what she was telling her father. She said, see, she finally found her key. She finally got the egg open. The egg said, if you remember the note from her mother at the beginning of the movie, it said, everything you need is inside. And she thought when she opened the egg that it would be something grand and glorious and explain all of life's problems and mysteries and secrets. And she found out that her mom didn't mean everything she needed was inside the egg, but inside of her. That was the mystery that her mother was trying to get her to understand. And she said, I'll miss mom every day, but I don't want to miss what's in front of me because of what's behind me. So the fourth thing that you're going to do is don't let where you've been keep you from where you're headed. John 12, 20 and 21 says that there were some Greeks who were going up to worship at the feast. And these people came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and were making requests of him and said, sir, we wish to see Jesus. It says they were Greeks, and they were going to worship. You have to understand, these people would have spent a lifetime, because Greeks worshiped a lot of gods. They spent a lifetime doing the wrong thing. They worshiped gods of food, of sun. They had all kinds of parties that only adults should attend. They called that worship. They had spent a lifetime doing the wrong things, but at one point they came to themselves and said, I want to see Jesus. My prayer for you is that no matter what you've done, you want to see Jesus. That before you leave this room, you'll settle in your heart and in your spirit. That I don't care about presence as much as I care about seeing Jesus. I don't care about family gathering as much as the one thing that I need to do is make sure I see Jesus. I don't want to let where I've been keep me from where I'm headed. And some of you are like, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my story. And besides, it doesn't matter because the Bible says all of our righteousness looks like filthy rags in the presence of a holy God. We're all level at the cross of Jesus. It's called being unworthy. But thanks be unto God that when the time came, the fullness of time, God sent His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. So I'm going to ask you one question and one question alone. Are you satisfied with where you are? You believe you're going to see Jesus? That when you leave this realm and go to the next one, are you content that there's a reason He should let you in? Because I'm going to tell you, I've punched my ticket. I'm completely content. I stand before you today, a man who lives in one realm, but this is not my home. My home is somewhere else, and things look different from there. He calls me to live a holy life while I'm here, and I don't have to do it in my own strength because He gives me the power. He gives me an instruction manual. He gives me His Holy Spirit. And He calls me His own. Things look different from up there. Some of you have loved ones and you're going to be missing them this season. And if they're in glory, things look different from up there. You and I are left here for one purpose. to share what God has done in our life. This is the opportunity that we have in this realm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't belong here. I'm reminded of that every single day. I don't fit in. I don't like what they like. I don't have a taste for what they have a taste for. Things they think is funny repulses me because this is not my realm. I got another home, and I can't wait to get there. I want to see Jesus. So are you content? Because if you're not, all over this room, it is very simple for you to be accepted into that kingdom. Jesus already did the heavy lifting for you. He did all the hard work. He died so you don't have to. That baby in a manger grew up to become a full-grown man who lived 33 and a half years of sinless existence, and he did it for you. And all you have to do is believe that he died and rose from the dead, and that one day he's coming back to take you where he is. That's all you have to do. He did the heavy lifting. But you have to just believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you're saved. Can I tell you, the greatest Christmas gift you could ever give your loved ones is getting your life right with God today. You wouldn't have to buy them anything. Well, I can't say that. Some of y'all are married to women. But the greatest gift you'll ever give yourself is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure, like you know that you're in this world, but maybe you just don't feel right. Maybe you've been too comfortable in this world. But you don't want this to be the only realm that you exist in. You want to see Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to say a prayer, and I want you to pray it with me. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're saved. That's not the end of the journey. What did I tell you today? He calls us to live a lifestyle of holiness, and he wants us to live righteously. You're going to walk that out the rest of your days. Hear me. Some of you are already telling yourself in your mind, I can't live that life. You're right. You can't. Neither can I. Thanks be unto God, he sent his Holy Spirit to guide me through this life because I can't do it by myself. I need him. And by the way, Bible says we work it out with fear and trembling. I'm still working this thing out. There's still some stuff I'm not happy with. So if I'm not happy with me, things look different from there. How much more is he not happy with me? But I'm still his. So I want to know if you're content. If your soul is satisfied, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus in my marriage. I want to see Jesus in my life. I want to see Jesus when I'm gone. I want to spend eternity with him. And if that's you, and you have never taken that step of surrendering your life to Jesus, I'm going to say a prayer, and you can choose to do it with me, or you can choose not to. The decision is totally yours. But I'm telling you, the hard work's already done. Jesus already did it. All you have to do is receive it. This is my Christmas gift to you on behalf of the one who gave it to me. So if it's you, I want every eye to be closed and every head to be bowed. And if it's you, I want you to just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. I believe that you died for me so I don't have to. I believe you're going to take me where you are, and I'll spend eternity with you. I receive salvation. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, Pastor, it can't be that simple. It couldn't be more simple. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. You're saved. I'm not going to get everything right. Welcome to the club. We happen to be a church here who believes everybody's somebody and nobody's perfect and anything is possible. Those are our three core beliefs here, because we don't have any perfect people in the room. None of us walking on water up here. If we do, it's an illusion that I thought up and the creative team made it happen. This was your day, your new birthday. And if you did that, I'm going to challenge you. If you prayed that prayer and you believed it in your heart and you got saved today, I want you to tell somebody. I want you to share it with somebody before the enemy comes and snatches that and says, nothing happened to you. Because you're not going to feel any different. I promise you, your eyes is going to be the same color. I got saved. I still had to look for size 15 shoes. None of that changed. What changed is on the inside. And if that's you, I challenge you, tell somebody. Tell the person that brought you to church. Type a text out to somebody. Just confirm it that you're already witnessing. I'm not of this world anymore. I walked into this church one way, but I'm walking out a citizen of another kingdom. So thanks be unto God. To every person that prayed that prayer. And if you did pray that prayer and you're bold enough and would like to, raise your hand and let us see. Hands all over this room. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing more important you'll ever do for yourself than surrendering yourself to the gift giver.